This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Hey everyone, welcome back to this Muslim Girl podcast. Today I have with me Ella Belkhi. Ella is a serial entrepreneur from Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, who works as a cultural consultant, art director, and illustrator. Born in Jeddah and raised in Montreal, Ella grew up with a keen awareness of both the versatility and constancy of culture. Upon receiving her bachelor's degree in graphic design from Dar al-Hikma University, Ella launched whimsical illustration brand Fionka. With culture being the focus of her youthful artistic direction, Ella's brand quickly became a success both locally and internationally. Under her creative direction, Fionka went on to collaborate with names like Rimmel and Netflix. One leap after another, Ella made the big move to New York in 2012 to pursue her MPS in Design Management and Strategy from Pratt Institute in Brooklyn, New York, graduating in 2015. Today, she is based between the cities of Jeddah, New York, and Dubai. Okay, so welcome, Ella. Thank you so much for being here. I want to start off with just a basic question. Like, who is Ella Belkhi? I know that you're an illustrator, creator of Fionka. You recently started in the publishing world, right? Like, with Mina Zain?
That is one aspect of what I do. Yeah.
I'm sure there's many social media influencer, content creator. Like, how would you describe yourself?
I guess I would say I'm a creative. Like, I just do different things. And the thing is, when I went to school, I did graphic design. I have a BA in graphic design. And I feel like back then in 2006, it was very limiting. It was you go to graphic design school, you work in advertising. That was it. And then as soon as Twitter happened, it was Facebook, Twitter, and then Instagram. Instagram happened in 2011. I feel like more doors opened up of you don't have to work in advertising and you don't have to be a graphic designer, but everything you learned, you take all of that and you do something different and use your graphic design skills or degree to create whatever you want to create. I feel like it's not limiting anymore. It's so weird because we're so used to saying, or we're so used to hearing, oh, I'm a doctor. Oh, I work in this company. Oh, I work in PR. I work in publishing and consulting. But then there's so many other things. And I don't like to put myself in a box because what if I want to also pursue acting? So I would say I'm a creative.
It's a large term so that you, like you said, you don't box yourself and you're able to enter different fields, right? Because that includes many things. Like I myself, I'm an artist, and then I have my sister who's a creative writer. So we both, you know, consider ourselves in the creative field best. You know, I'm more drawing and illustrating. She's more writing.
Yeah. Oh, but then I feel like when you're an entrepreneur and when you start something, you put on so many hats. So with Fionka, I did the branding and I did the production and I did the sourcing and I did the marketing and I did the communication and I did the designing and the illustrating and the social media. So I did all of that. But now I'm the founder of Fionka. I'm the illustrator of Fionka. That's how I generalize all of what I did. But then with Mina Azeen, it was more of, we wanted to create something that we needed right now. It's like a platform that has so many amazing people that are part of this platform that, you know, just kind of bring it back to print and bring it back to publishing works of people instead of just having it on digital platforms.
Mm-hmm. And it's also representing people that aren't usually in magazines or certain publications, correct?
That's where my personal background is very different because I grew up in a place where everyone was like me. Mm-hmm. I grew up in Montreal, that was different. But like in Saudi, my middle school, high school, and college, it's so weird. And that's like another conversation. Like in America, when I meet people, that the first thing they say is like, oh, like we're not represented, and all of that. for me, it's so different because I grew up in a place where everyone, most of the people were like me, same religion, same sect even. I grew up in Jeddah. Mm-hmm. So we never even talk about that. It was just like, not that it wasn't diverse, because Jeddah is very diverse in terms of where your origins are from and your race and all of that. That's what the Hijaz is all about. That's what Jeddah is about. So you find people from different families that, you know, that look different because their ancestors are different, because they all came for Hajj and then they stayed and they married from the locals. So like Jeddah is very diverse. Mm. Then the culture is very similar. Mm-hmm. In like a normal week, every day's lunch would be from a different place. So we would have like Molokhiya on one day, Ruz Bukhari the second day, or like Harira. But because we are, or Akil Jawi, like Javanese food, because we're so mixed and culturally. So I never thought, I never thought about this whole representation thing until I moved to America, where I was like, wait a minute, we're not represented. But like when I'm in the region, when I'm in the Gulf, I just think of representation like, oh, there's not as many Saudi girls, there's not as many women, there's not. So my fight was always like a gender fight. Hmm. Because I grew up in a place where everyone kind of was like the same. So I was like, okay, my fight is like a gender fight, like women, women, women. So for example, when I came here and I just have these normal conversations about what I think is, you know, yay, we made it. But then Americans are like, wait, but there's not one person of color on that show. And I'm like, but it's a show about women. But for me, it's something completely new to me to think about it in that aspect, mm. which is something I'm learning. Like it's my 7th year here. But yes, I get it. It's different. And I would never put myself in the shoes of Arab Americans or Arab Muslim Americans or Muslim Americans, because even with International Muslim Women's Day, I didn't feel it was for me. I didn't know, because I was
for those who felt the void and felt the misrepresentation,
or felt they were different, or felt that they needed. I didn't feel like it wasn't my place. It wasn't my place to be in a campaign for International Women's Day when I didn't feel what they felt growing up. I didn't feel that. So it's unfair. And then, so I'm like in the middle of this thing where, you know, I live here, but then I don't relate to so many things that other girls relate to. And I'm really different, but I'm trying to fit in, but I'm not. Mm-hmm.
Which I think is what makes you who you are and makes you different, I think, and appeal in different ways. But for you, you're, I don't know if fight is the word, but your maybe purpose that you see is the gender role and gender representation. But 7 years is a long time to be in the United States. I'm surprised you haven't felt.
So in the 7 years, I've been here for 3.5, like physically.
Oh, okay. So it hasn't really been that long. Your English is great though, mashallah.
I grew up in Montreal.
Oh, okay.
But even though I have friends that never left Saudi for school and their English is good. So that's another misconception. Mm-hmm. And no, and that's something like frustrates me because we speak perfect English there.
Yeah. You know, there's so many misconceptions that even us as Arab Muslims or Arab Americans that we have towards the Arab world, especially if we're not very exposed to it. I mean, I'm Yemeni. I've been to Yemen many times, so I don't really so much deal with that. But I know a lot of people who have been here their whole lives. They almost carry the same mindset and like the misconceptions that most Western people do towards Arabs and specifically Saudis.
I think because the media plays a huge part of it.
Very, yeah.
And social media kind of broke that, because there is no excuse for being ignorant, because there is this platform that so many people from everywhere are on this platform, so you can actually meet a real life Saudi girl. Because I meet so many people here that have never met a Saudi girl, or, oh, you're Saudi. Like today I took an Uber and the guy was like, oh, your name is Allah. And I'm like, no, it's Ella. He's like, I'm like, I'm from Saudi. He's like, oh, and you're dressed like this. And I'm just like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, in Saudi, you can't dress like this. I'm like, I can dress the way I want to dress. He's like, no, but in Saudi, you can't dress like this.
How is he going to tell you that?
No, for me, it's like PTSD of like, why are you telling me what to wear? All my life, people have been telling me what I have to wear. But mo انت حتجي وتقول لي, like, you're not the one that's going to come and tell me what to wear. And it was so frustrating. بس what am I gonna do يعني it's like being Saudi is very there's so many things because there's what people think mm-hmm. and trying to change what people think but then you want to be yourself and then a lot of people are like but don't say you're Saudi I'm like but I am but then you have to start this conversation because you're from Saudi and because I'm from Mecca then that doesn't mean that I have to represent everyone that's mm-hmm. from there I'm my own person and like these small misconceptions I feel change with social media and no and there is no it's ignorant for people to say oh I didn't know or just educate yourself or ask the right questions Or like, you know, some people ask really good questions. Like, I'm curious. I thought that this or I never knew that this instead of saying.
The way like, they ask is important, too, right? Because there's a respectful way.
Instead of being surprised, things of like, oh, like you have like I've heard. But not now. I feel like in the beginning, I've heard like, oh, you have a Starbucks in Saudi or, oh, you have American brands. And I'm like, yeah, they're horrible. But and no, I'm talking about like, I don't know when these American franchises open in Saudi, it's just like a big deal, like IHOP and all of that. And I get it. It's like, it's different when you're exposed to it. And hatta, okay, when I said people speak English perfectly, it is a social class thing. It is an education thing. And I feel like now it's changing, especially like, let's say, okay, you speak English, but then there's the accent thing. It's how your household is. My brothers did not grow up in Montreal, but they used to watch everything in English, like all the cartoons. So it's, mm-hmm. I mean, that's the whole thing. And they speak English perfectly. And if someone told them like, oh, but you're from Saudi, you speak English perfectly. Like they literally never left Saudi. They studied all their life in Saudi and they speak English perfectly. And it's the environment helps.
Okay, so I want to go back a little bit to the social media thing, because I know you said that there's access today to a Saudi woman or any type of person that, you know, before it wasn't someone that you can find around in your neighborhood, so you weren't exposed to people. So now it's kind of like if you're not exposed to it, it's kind of your own fault because the accessibility is there. Mm-hmm. But what do you think how has social media served a purpose for you and maybe your life's purpose?
Oh, so many things. Yani, I feel... First, for me personally, it's just helped me in so many ways with Fionca, particularly. Fionca was pre-Instagram. Mm-hmm. So Fionca was on Twitter. And then I remember I did Facebook. But Twitter was so interesting because as soon as Twitter launched in Saudi, it was the first time that Saudis had a public space to talk. It's online. It was on this platform, but it was a public space to talk. And there's a lot of people that met through Twitter, and this was unheard of because you go out, there weren't any public spaces. So you go out with people you know, and you're in the same circle. And I feel like Twitter broadened that circle. One of my closest friends, Renin Bukhari, is from Khobar. She's from the Eastern Province, and I met her through Twitter. And I remember we used to follow each other on Twitter, and then I met her in real life, and I didn't know who she was until she told me her Twitter name, and I was like, oh my God. You and that was amazing that the first time I went to Riyadh this is also so surreal I remember there was this forum in Riyadh and I sent a tweet to the organizers I'm like hey like I want to attend this event I have 2,000 followers like I want to cover it and they invited me and I went and I met Renin and my friend Besma was part of it. And this was the first time that I went to another city in Saudi because of Twitter. And then Fionca also really helped, Fionca being on Instagram and social media. And then my own career and, you know, me being this kind of quote unquote public figure, but also... In the beginning, I really wanted to have a platform that represented like Saudi girls. But then I'm like, I can't represent all Saudi girls. So I just wanted somewhere basically to share my life, to mm-hmm. change perceptions, to connect people, to just find amazing. It connected people in so many different ways, like even in happy moments and in sad moments and in difficulties and like, you know, sharing grief, sharing joy, sharing all these things, finding people that are going through the same thing, learning so much from other people. I think it's such a great platform, but also I'm so careful about not putting all my eggs in one basket. And if Instagram would disappear tomorrow, I really want to be able to continue doing what I'm doing. So I don't rely heavily on it. Although because I'm a visual person, it helps me more than Twitter. I had a blog, an actual blog. For me, it was just, it's more easier to maintain an Instagram than a blog. Mm-hmm. I'm not a good writer, and I feel like I'm a good talker and I'm a good visual person.
Mm-hmm. It makes it easier. I'm kind of the same way. But I wanted to ask you, how do you think that, like, the work that you've been able to do through social media and maybe others like you, how has that influenced or impacted the way that people view women, particularly like Arab women? I feel like it's changed in like even just the past 10 years.
I think it's always been there. There's always been women, amazing women that are doing amazing things, but they're not there. But even social media. So Vogue Arabia just had this issue that they highlighted Saudi women that,
I saw that,
are doctors, you know, researchers, engineers. These are not the women that are going to be on Instagram. Mm-hmm. You know? So yes, it highlighted amazing women that are doing things, but then some women, just Instagram for them is just another thing. It's just like, I have an email and I have Instagram. And some women that are, I would say, influencers, like, Instagram is their career. And I think it's not fair for us to just look at who's on Instagram and then say, like, oh, these women are doing amazing things. But they were. Just because they're not on Instagram doesn't mean that they're not doing amazing things. And that is where the comparison comes. Like, you know, I'm a doctor. I'm like a brain surgeon. But do I also have to be active on Instagram so people can notice my work? That doesn't matter. So why don't we also glorify these women? I feel like it's our job and kind of like talk about women that don't talk like that.
They don't talk about themselves.
Not don't talk about themselves. That just like, you know, they have better, not better things. I don't know how to verbalize
it. Fahimtik, like, if you're a brain surgeon, yani, your priority or your thing is not going to be on social media.
They're not supposed to like go and just look on Instagram or social media for women that are doing amazing things. I think where everyone, we've always been there. I think just social media highlighted it more.
I see what you mean.
But then not in specific fields. So I think in the creative field, in the design field, and creative field in general, yes, it did. But then not in all fields. So I think it helped a segment of it, but not everything. So I wouldn't want someone to just go on social media and try and find, I don't know.
No, I know what you mean. I think it's, so then it's a great thing what Vogue Arabia did, right? Because they didn't just go online and because that's kind of the easy way too, is just search women.
Or just feature someone that is already, you know, an it girl or a hype girl or like someone that already has the following.
Yeah.
And I get it. Sometimes it helps. At the end of the day, it's a business. But then to truly, truly find these women that I didn't know about them. And now I do. And I am amazed. And I'm inspired because it's just so inspiring. Personally, growing up, my dad, not that it wasn't really taken seriously that I wanted to be a doctor, just because, you know, why would you do that? And why, it's so hard and you want to start a family and they just make it so hard. But then you see these women that did it and you're just like, you know, they went with it and they did it and they didn't listen to, you know, the negative things that society said.
They made it possible.
But yeah. So,
and then they in turn become the inspiration for those who wanted to enter the field, who had those voices telling them, oh, no,
definitely. And I feel like girls nowadays, just really the sky is the limit for them, as opposed to us when there was no representation or nothing we could see. The media was very limited. It was, the magazines were all, you know, celebrities, singers, musicians, mm-hmm. Actors and that wasn't something, you know, you were going to pursue because it wasn't socially acceptable in Saudi in the 90s, I would say, growing up. And like even graphic design. So like my program was the first graphic design program in the country. And my dufa, my class was the sixth class. Mm-hmm. So it was very new. It was like design was very new. Before that, you were either doctor or teacher, or you study in any field to teach in that field. Mm-hmm. But then that's it. And I feel like now it's just so amazing that I want my daughter to grow up, my future daughter, to grow up knowing that she can be an astronaut, and there is someone that's an astronaut. There is a Saudi woman astronaut. There is, and I want them to feel like they can do whatever they want. There are Saudi women actresses. There are Saudi women, you know, scientists, designers, singers, musicians, composers. I want them to not just be limited to like these things, and also these things that, these majors that are in Saudi. I just want them to have a better options than I did, because my options were finance and business administration and graphic design and computer science. This is what I was thinking about.
Was graphic design your passion? Was it what you wanted to do?
It was literally a happy mistake. My grades weren't good, so I didn't get accepted in the public college. So I went to a private college, and my cousin chose graphic design. So I said, okay, let's do graphic design. I had no idea what graphic design was, and I just did it. I really had no idea, but I felt like I knew that I liked collages, and I knew that I liked cutting things, but I didn't know what it was because I didn't see it around me. I didn't see Arabic graphic design around me. And when I was in school, it was Rena Salam. She's a Lebanese graphic designer. She was the only inspiration I could find. It's different when you study graphic design in a dual language because you have all these aspects. When you have a company, you have the font and the logo. You have it in Arabic, you have it in English. All of that. It was so important. Editorial, book design, all of that. It's so different. You learn it in a different way. It's literally the opposite. It's text right to left and the other is left to right. So for me, there wasn't that much inspiration. That's where Fionca came from. I didn't see cartoons representing where I grew up and the women I see around me in cartoons and magazines and, you know, comics. I didn't see that. So I wanted to illustrate what I saw around me, and that's why all the women are different. One is wearing burqa, one is covering her face, one is wearing hijab, one is wearing abaya, one is not. It's literally what I saw around me. It's not religious. It's more social. Like Fionca was always a social brand. There's so many messages that people don't realize. A lot of the illustrations, Fionca girl, her eyes are closed because she's dreaming of something better. I never illustrated men. And when I did, I made the guy behind the woman and he was shadowed. So small little things. I'm trying to start a conversation. And like small, small little baby steps. It's a very personal brand when it started. I was 21 and I wanted to create something. And I wanted to create a Saudi brand that Saudi girls can see themselves in. And I was always a fan of Hello Kitty, but she's a cat. So I wanted to create something that they felt like it represents them. And it was made in Saudi. And it was made by Saudi women. And, you know, and the language is the same. And
when you designed Fionca, did you have an idea that you wanted to get into bags and designing for that? Or was it just strictly like a design that you had?
No, so Fionca is an illustration-based brand. So the brand is the illustration. Okay. So I just wanted to put it on stuff that, you know, made sense. In the beginning, it was because I just graduated from college. It was more, you know, the college student. So the tote bag, notebooks, pencil case, makeup bag, stuff like that.
I was listening to an interview that you did with, I think it's called Finjan.
Oh yeah, amazing.
Yes. You actually said something that I found very relatable, and I wanted to hear a little bit more about it from you. It was, I think, you talking about your brand, Fionca, and talking about how when you do something, you want to do it right or you don't want to do it at all. And sometimes that requires you taking a break from something, sometimes or stepping away from it. For me, like, I like to get into many different fields, and so I'll try. If I'm interested in something or I have a passion, like, I'm going to try it. If I fail, it's fine. I'd rather try it than to sit and wonder about what it would be like or if I would be good at something. So I just wanted to talk to you a little bit more about that, because I feel like there's some good and bad to having that type of mindset. And I don't know if you still have, or if I'm, you know, portraying correctly what you said in that interview, but there's some good, and I think there's obviously some bad to it as well. But do you see yourself as someone who wants, like, are you constantly looking for some, like, a different, not necessarily field, but a different creative way, a different creative space to enter? Or you see something and you're like, how would you do it differently? How would you enter that space?
I want to do a lot of things. And some things you can literally plan for years and still it's not ready. And some things you just jump into it and then magic happens. With Fionca, there was no plan. I just wanted to create something and then turn into something bigger. So now I'm taking it back. We turned 10 in 2 years. So I'm taking it back and building a team, finding investors to kind of do it the right way, because it was never supposed to be a business. It was a project that turned into a business that has so much potential, because it's something that's needed in the market and wanted. And the market is not as saturated as it is in the States. There's space for everyone. I think there's so much abundance in the universe that there's space for everyone to do whatever they want. And we're so afraid. Yani, sometimes we're so afraid of it not working, so we never try, but we would never know. Mm-hmm. And I think the thing that we don't talk about is failure. And so what's the worst thing that can happen?
You've always been like this, not afraid to fail, I guess. Or maybe you're afraid a little, but it's not something that's going to stop you. The fear doesn't stop you.
I think everyone is afraid, but I always think, like, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? And I truly believe that a risk min Rabbana. So your money, your wealth will come. If it's meant for you, it will come in different ways that you don't know about. And what's meant for you will happen. So you just have to kind of believe. I know there's a little bit of, some people just want the realistic approach and, you know, the studies and the business plan. But sometimes you just have to take a leap of faith. And just start. And when I say start, I don't say, like, put all your savings in it. And when I say start, I mean, just try doing something different. For me, when I tell people that want to start a brand, and I'm like, just think about a name and just start an Instagram. Just start an Instagram. Think about a name. Start an Instagram. Start a Pinterest board. That's the first step, you know, just start. If you're going to keep saying, I want to do a brand, and I want to start something, and you didn't even open a Google Doc to write your ideas, then why? You're not losing anything by doing that. I used to keep saying that I want to start another brand for 2 years. That was a more mature Fionca. It was, the name was ready and everything, and I just kept saying, like, I really want to start another brand, I really want to. And my friend was like, why don't you? Just do it. And it just miraculously happened. Like, and then I just launched it in Ramadan, and we just had, and Vogue featured us on their website, and it was just Vogue Arabia. And it was just, I was afraid, so many steps I was afraid, but then what's the worst that can happen?
And I think sometimes too, people don't want to put in the work. Like, they have the idea, but somehow they want the money or the resources and everything to come.
Ideas are everywhere and ideas are floating. And that's why, you know, when you have an idea, but then someone else does it, you can't say anything because you didn't do it. So idea is floating. And if someone grabs it and does it, then it's their idea. You can't say it was my idea because you never did it.
You can't seem to think that you're the only one that's come up with it. So this is kind of a random question, but where did the name Fionca come from?
Fionca means a ribbon bow.
Okay.
So a bow made out of a ribbon. And I wanted a name that's very general. I wanted a name that, you know, for me, it's just like very cute. I was so into bows. I remember growing up, like, all the, like, little socks had bows. Everything had a bow. And it's a very Hijazi word. It's a very slang, Jidda, like Hijazi words. I wanted something general.
It seems like the brand is so personal to you then. Like, every aspect of it is very much about.
Because it was my project. It's still very me. Some people still call me Fionca, and it's so surreal now to think about it that I've started this when I was 21. It's insane.
Did you do it all by yourself?
My family, all of them. So my mom helped me. Me and my mom sewed actually the first collection. My brothers were helping me pack, like, iron. All, like, my brothers literally saved me with Fionca, because when I was in the States, they were doing everything. They were managing production, the tailor, my sister. It really is like a family run company.
Oh, that's amazing. Also, you're a recently new aunt, right?
Yeah, I have a nephew.
How's that? I mean, I have 17 nieces and nephews, mashallah. It's honestly probably one of the best things, or like I would say the biggest blessing is being an aunt. Like, I absolutely love it.
For me, it's very different because I love him so much, but I'm not there. Then it's kind of this thing of like, does he know who I am? Am I going to be in his life? So for me, it's just very weird. But then he literally makes everything better.
They really do.
Yeah.
And I think technology makes it easier, right? Like, you can.
Yeah, he has an Instagram account. It's called Sittu Hasna. It's so
How
cute.
cute.
Yeah, and I see him and he's there and everything, but it's so different. Like whenever I go back, it's so different now because whenever I go back to Saudi, it's literally from the airport to her house, and I just like literally go and yelling like fan and baby.
Okay, so I have one last question for you. If you were to give a younger girl advice, maybe it's your younger self, but a younger girl who wants to do something that maybe is not your traditional space. And I know we talked about women in the professional space, in the, like, doctors, lawyers, inshallah, astronauts. But if she wanted to go into a space that's non-traditional, it doesn't necessarily have to be creative. But what kind of advice would you give to her?
People will always talk. So that aside, people will always have an opinion. And some people will always try to put you down. But as soon as you make it, people will forget and they will applaud you. And I've seen that happen to me personally. I've heard so many things from family members that are like, what are you doing? Who's gonna buy this? You're selling this. How can you leave your job and start something? And then now it's just like, yeah, she's my niece. So that I would definitely say, like, just start working, because you can get all the degrees in life, but working in that field is so different. And just starting to, you learn so much when you're in a workspace. And that's something I wish I had more of, because I've been working on my own for such a long time that, I think maybe I would have been a better writer if I, worked in an environment where there are other people that, I can show them. And it's like a constant learning process when you're working. So the sooner you do it, the better, because I started working when I was 18. I started working from college. And then as soon as I graduated, I was like, okay, I don't want to do this, but I've learned so much. So when you start, just the earlier you start, the better. Different things. And start working at places that you will learn from. And internships are, they're so important, because you learn. As much as you give and you think like, oh, but they're not paying me, that money is not gonna, like, the learning experience is worth so much more.
More
The
valuable.
connections are so valuable, like all the connections. And one last thing is just be nice, because you never know where someone will end up. You never know. So just be nice to everyone, because if you're in this industry, industries are very small, and people know each other. So everyone can be of value. And you can never think like, oh, how's this person going to help me? You never know when you might need them.
Wise words. I really like that last one. Thank you so much, Ala Balkhi.
Of course. Thank you so much.